Well, God bless your wonderful hearts. Always wonderful to fellowship and be with the saints. And this is a holiday season here, so I know a lot of people are doing a lot of things, but I'm thankful that we can take the time to get into God's Word and look at some great truths and realities. And there's something I want to share with you that I really want you to grasp this and understand it and never forget a wonderful reality in God's Word that applies to your life. To do that, let me build, okay? And the subject I'd like to start off with is seeds, all right? I brought some seeds with me. Okay, now what are seeds? It's a starting point. It's the beginning of life for virtually everything. Comes from seeds. And in these little seeds here, they're so little they can't come out here. See, in these seeds, this little guy here, see that? No? Okay. I barely can see it myself as well. But in this seed are all the characteristics, all the traits that will make it what it's supposed to be, how God designed it. God designed this little seed to be a carrot. This little guy is going to be a carrot in about 70 days. Amazing, isn't it? Phenomenal how this little thing could be a beautiful orange carrot and have taste to it. Amazing. But that's seeds, isn't it? That is seed. You and I came from a seed, right? An egg and a sperm. It mated. And here we got a life, an individual life. All the characteristics, all the traits via the DNA and the chromosomes and everything, it's all there to make like me, all right? After so many years, here I am, but I came from a little thing that you could hardly see. Isn't that amazing how God set up life like that? Phenomenal. I want you to really get a point here, and I want you each to have some seeds. Okay? I want you to see this for yourself. So I need some, where's my ushers here? Yeah, I want to pass that around here. Okay? I want everybody to have a seed. Just touch something and think about with this little seed, it's going to germinate. It's going to grow and produce radishes, cucumbers, carrots. Phenomenal. Phenomenal, isn't it? Okay. If any of you are doing a garden later on, would like some extra seeds here, I'll have them. You know, these are plant seeds. But animal seeds the same way, isn't it? By the way, these seeds, some of them can last for years. Scientists have, in their discoveries with archaeologists, they have found seeds that are over 1,000 years old. They put it in the ground, water it, bingo, it grows. How can that happen? I mean, isn't that amazing how God designed that to occur? Now, there are these brine shrimp in the desert that their seeds, their little eggs, they dry up. It gets cold. It gets hot for years. And lo and behold, you take these little eggs, put a little salt water on it, bingo, you got little shrimp. Amazing, isn't it? How God has so designed life to originate from a seed that has all the characteristics and traits to make that organism what it's supposed to be, how God originated that. Okay? Okay, you can put your seed apart or away a little bit if you'd like. But I want you to take your Bibles at this point and go to Genesis 3:15. God, when he promised a redeemer for mankind as a result of Adam's fall, he uses this term seed, a promised seed, a coming seed. All right? Now, you're familiar with Adam and Eve, right? God set up life. He had such a beautiful life for mankind. Then man did the one thing God told him not to do, and they died spiritually. Instead of God saying, well, that's it. These guys won't get it right. I'm done with it. No, he desired relationship. He desired fellowship, so he did what was legally required to redeem man back so that he could have a relationship with God. Now, to do that, this is what he said after Adam and Eve fell. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee, and this is in regard to Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the great promise, the promised seed. You know, God didn't say, I'm going to bring a person, but he talked in the terms of seed here. And this seed would bruise his head. We know that that meant, as we read God's word, that he would destroy the works of the adversary. He would get rid of the adversary down the road. But his heel would be bruised, and we know what happened there. Jesus Christ gave his life, didn't he? He gave his life. He died for mankind. He was a perfect sacrifice. God raised him from the dead, right? 3 days, 3 nights later, raised him from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of God. It all started right here with the communication of a promised seed. And from this point on, that seed, that inheritance, followed through. The progeny, okay? The character carried through. The adversary was trying to get rid of that seed, wasn't he? As it moved through generation after generation after generation. We know that Judah, of the 12 tribes of Israel, we know Judah, there was a prophecy that Judah would have. The scepter would come from that Judah, from him, that tribe. And we know David, right? David, King David, that this promised seed moved through King David until it got to the point of the Lord Jesus Christ being born. Before we get there, though, we're going to go to Luke to see the birth of Jesus Christ. I want you to see Psalms 89. This emphasis that God is using the word seed. And we know seed carries all the traits, all the characteristics of that particular organism. So in Psalm 89, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever. There it is, that seed again, that inheritance. It's going to carry through David, and it's going to be how long? Forever, forever. And we know that went through Jesus Christ, and will go on for eternity. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Look at verse 29, the same Psalm 89. Verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my laws and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Was there consequences to their errors? There sure was horrible consequences. But is that the end of it? Verse 33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. He promised that tribe, right? Israel. He promised them that he would take care of them, that they were his people. Pretty amazing here. My covenant will I not break, verse 34, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. His seed shall endure forever. And we know that happened via the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the promised seed that started in Genesis 3:15 came into fruition with the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at that in Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. You know, I know this is the Christmas holiday season, and it revolves around the birth of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, most of the traditions we hear about this time and about Jesus Christ and the birth and the events that occurred really don't corroborate what the Word of God says. Would be an interesting thing to do someday is to look at what God's Word says in regard to his birth. When was he born? It wasn't December 25th. It was sometime in the fall. It had to be. You know, the shepherds wouldn't be out in the wintertime. And then those three kings, right? Remember those three kings? They didn't come when he was born. They came when he was a child. And was it three of them? Who knows? It doesn't say how many there was. A lot of things that tradition has crept into this holiday season and kind of spoiled the greatness of the truth of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But, you know, we're grateful and thankful for that, for his life and God making him available. So let's read about it here in verse 35, chapter 1 of Luke. And the angel answered and said unto her, this is Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It mentioned in Genesis 3:15 about the seed of the woman. But does a woman carry the seed? Not necessarily. It carries the egg. Okay? Man contributes the seed. Here, God creates this life, this seed within Mary, so that this baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, could be born and he could be called the Son of God. Couldn't happen any other way. Pretty simple too, isn't it? God can create things. And Mary fulfilled the 9 months time, and the man determines the sex of that baby, doesn't he? And God could fix that to make sure it's a guy, you know? So it truly would be the Son of God. And behold, verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You know, God worked a miracle with her, and Mary was aware of that, quite aware of that, and it sure helped her believing to be able to have the Son of God. Who was that? John the Baptist, right? Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be what? There it is. With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Man, this has got to be one of the greatest statements of believing in the word of God. Be it according to thy word. That's where we want to get, right? We see the promises of God. We have a need. Be it according to thy word. And receive. Well, the angel departed from her, verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. And it goes on. Goes on. Verse 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So we have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Romans now. Go to Romans. As a result of the life of Jesus Christ and Him giving His life, dying for mankind, and then God raising Him from the dead, made available the gift of Holy Spirit, right? God's been wanting, right? He's been wanting to get children. Here He has a son. He allows His son to give His own life away to die. Unbelievable, but He does. But what's the result? More children. More children because of the new birth. When you're saved, born again, you are born again. We're going to see this. We're going to see this a little bigger here, but let's look at Romans 5. Chapter 5 in Romans. Instead of reading from Genesis 3:15 all the way through the Old Testament and the four Gospels, we'll just read these verses here. I think it puts it in a nutshell what occurred, that we could have the new birth realities present in our life. So 5:18, let's start there. Therefore, as by the offense of one, and who was that offense of one? Adam. Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. As a result of what he did, that spoiled it for all mankind. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Pretty neat. I mean, you might say, boy, that's not fair. Adam spoiled for all mankind. Well, if it took one to spoil it, it can take one to get it back, fix it. Exactly. So that's what's being taught here. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is, eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3. We have the righteousness of God. We have His justification as a result of what Jesus Christ did, His birth. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We could read in the Old Testament. God made promises to Abraham. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which was who? Christ. See how important seed is? Very, very important, which is Christ. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Okay, so this is the seed of Christ that came. And we saw the fruition of it in Luke. We read about that. We see in Romans the results of what Jesus Christ did. Now let's go to 1 Peter. And let's see what that could mean for us personally as born-again ones. As those who have believed God's word, we've confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we've believed in our heart God raised him from the dead, and we become saved, we become whole, we have received spirit, okay, the new birth spirit. And what is that spirit? What is one thing about that spirit? Well, let's take a look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. So the first seed you were born of, it's corruptible. It's going to die. You're going to die when you're 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. It doesn't go forever. It's a natural seed. It's just how it works. But we're born again of what? Incorruptible. Now, God doesn't put the word seed in there. The emphasis of that omission is that this is incorruptible. If it's incorruptible, then it's eternal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're born again of what kind of seed? Much, much better than the first seed you're born of. Its characteristics contain the justification of life, God's righteousness. It contains everything that Christ is. Oh my goodness. That's who we are. Let's look in the earlier part of this chapter 1 here, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. We're born to a lively hope. Why? Because we've got incorruptible seed. It's eternal, eternal life. Man, oh man. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. That word undefiled means it's not impure. In other words, it's pure. And that fadeth not away, reserved where? Reserved in heaven for you. There's going to be a time where you're going to get a new spiritual body. We have this seed, incorruptible seed in us, and when Christ comes back, we're going to get a whole new spiritual body. Yay, hot dogs, yay, okay. Wow. It's better than the first seed. Amen, it is. It is. Once you're born again of uncorruptible seed, wow. The characteristics that you have, you're a son of God forever. You are God's son forever. Who is your father now? God Almighty, he's your father now. And it's seed. It's seed. You've seen, you touch that seed. Isn't it? Fantastic. That little seed makes carrots, radishes in 90 days, 70 days. You and I have a seed that's incorruptible. Fantastic. Fantastic. You can appreciate the seed that you had, right? Because you could taste it. Well, you didn't want to eat it, did you? But you could. You could touch it. You could see it. Now, can you touch this incorruptible seed? Not really, but is there a manifestation of that incorruptible seed? When I speak in tongues, I can't speak in tongues unless I have the Spirit of God in me, right? It's a manifestation of the Spirit. So I know I've got incorruptible seed in me. It's as simple as, you know, there I got this little radish seed, but I've got this incorruptible seed. I speak in tongues. I'm reminded of that. It's amazing. So that's what I wanted to show you today. I wanted you to realize and never forget that you were born of incorruptible seed. And it's fantastic. It is so phenomenal. So don't forget that. When you wake up tomorrow, remember who you are. You're a son of God. And that's why we've been emphasizing walking with this. Use this. Walk as Christ would walk. Walk operating the manifestations of the Spirit. Walk as a son of God because you have incorruptible seed, okay? All right, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very, very much for how you work this out, that we are born of seed, that it's real, that it's incorruptible, that it's all about Christ in us. It's all about all the righteousness that you are, all the love that you are, all the grace and mercy and everything else that you are, Father. We have that within us because of the characteristics of that seed. So thank you for your love that you would do this and make this available for us. And I pray that we all can rise up just greater and more each day and walk for you, and hold forth your word as you would have us to do, so others can see the greatness of your love and what you have available. So we thank you, Father, for this, and I just pray for each person here having a great week this week, remembering who they are in Christ and that they have incorruptible seed. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, brother.